Please join with me at this time for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this Thy house, we thank Thee for it. We thank Thee that, especially when we consider the health problem that's here in this nation and all over this world, that we can come here with a reasonable portion of good health. And help us always to be mindful, regardless of circumstances, that Thou art God, our loving and merciful Heavenly Father, and Thou wilt provide for us. And, O Lord, help us always remember this and find strength in it, we pray. Now, as we come to worship Thee, we pray that as Thou hast been with us, we feel, in the singing of hymns and prayers which have been offered, that Thou wilt be with us now in the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that Thy servant may preach Thy Word in power and demonstration of Thy Spirit, and that Thy people may have ears to hear and hearts to understand, that all of us may use it in our everyday lives to serve Thee better in the future than we have in the past, and that we might glorify Thee and help us in all that we do. The chief aim in doing that will be to honor and to glorify Thee. Now, we're mindful that there are those on the prayer list. We ask that Thy blessings will be with them. We ask Thee to be with all for whom is our duty and privilege to pray. And we ask Thee to be with this great nation and bless her to prosper and do well, and especially that Thy people within the nation may go back to the principles that are found in Thy Word and walk in them regardless of circumstances. And now we beg Thee to forgive us of our sins, and this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. As you know, I've been trying to preach a series of messages the last 9 Sundays on the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason I know, the last 9 Sundays, I don't think during that time I've been gone either of those Sundays. And there are 9 qualities that make up what we call the fruit of the Spirit that are found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Now, the Lord being my helper, I may touch on some of those, but I'm not going to preach on any of those for any period of time, that is. Since I said that, that's probably what I'll do. But the Lord being my helper this morning, I want to preach on the subject of fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. Now, there are many other passages of Scripture that mention the subject, that where we find the subject of fruit bearing, whether it's directly or indirectly, but we are to bear fruit. And the fruit we are to bear, by the way, before I go on any further, is that fruit which is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the only, as far as I know, that's the only spiritual fruit that's found in the Scriptures. I remember the first time I learned this, a cousin of your former pastor, Elder W.A. Mullis. His name was Marvin Mullis. He lived in Valdosta. He was a good Bible student, a good Bible teacher in Bible study classes. And he mentioned in one of the lessons that the fruit we ought to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's amazing that both of us were in a congregation somewhere, I don't remember where, but one of the ministers mentioned the fact that the fruit we ought to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I don't know any other place where we find fruit, spiritual fruit, other than that of the fruit of the Spirit. If there is, then I certainly want to know that. But now, the passage, what I want to use for text is found in John chapter 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. Now, what I want to do is, I'm going to read 2 verses here, then I'm going to read some more verses, and then some more verses. But I'll go to some few other passages of Scripture, but all this time, if you hold on to John chapter 15, because most of the time, we'll be going back to that chapter. Now, I want to read, first of all, the first 2 verses, John chapter 15 and the first 2 verses. And these verses read, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." All right. Now, the important thing is, I remember years ago, the first church that I endeavored to pastor, Kathy and I moved all the way up to Lawrence, Burrs, Illinois, I was pastor of a Primitive Baptist Church there that had the address of Flat Rock, Illinois. And I'm sure you know where both of those are. But, you know, it was in southeastern Illinois, so I told people I never moved out of the southeast because we were in southeastern Illinois. But I remember one of the sisters there. We were having some kind of cleanup there, and she told me this. Harry Dobbs said, Harry always emphasized the fact who was speaking and to whom he was speaking to. And who was writing, or who wrote, and to whom did he write? That's the important thing, because if we miss that, we miss other things. I read a love letter that was written before my decal grandparents, my mother's parents, got married, and it's a beautiful little letter. And by the way, he signed it, "Your Little Farmer." That's an affectionate title, I guess, she had of him. But nevertheless, that was meant for her. Now, others couldn't read it and rejoice in it, but not like grandmother would have during those days. It's much like the "How Do I Love Thee?" "Let Me Count the Ways," written, I think, by Robert Browning, or beg your pardon, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And I think it was written to her husband, Robert Browning. Now, every one of us, if we've read that poem or that sonnet, we enjoyed reading it. But I doubt any of us enjoyed reading it as did Robert Browning, to whom it was meant. And so in this passage of Scripture, we need to know Jesus was doing the speaking, and to whom was He speaking? Well, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus was speaking to His apostles. And since He was speaking to His apostles, then therefore He was speaking to the people of God. I don't mean to imply, I think you know this, but I don't mean to imply that they were the people of God because they were apostles, but rather they were apostles, or Jesus chose His people and made them apostles. They were apostles because they were the children of God. And of course, Jesus called them. Right, and to these apostles, to His people, and by the way, it's the same not only to the apostles in that day, this is to us as gospel ministers today, and this is to His people today, whomever they may be and wherever they may be. And so Jesus said that He was then and is today the true vine. We are the branches. He said that in verse 5, by the way, when He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." We'll get to that a little bit later. But the idea there is that we are the branches. God the Father is the husbandman. And as the husbandman, then He cares for the vineyard. He takes care of the vineyard. He does the things that need to be done to the vineyard. Now, if a branch does not bear fruit, He takes it away. Now, I've never tried to be a husbandman over a vineyard or fruit trees or anything like that. The only thing I've ever had anything to do with is growing tomatoes. It's kind of strange. I never liked tomatoes coming up. And don't like these sliced tomatoes even now. But I've grown tomatoes and would really like to grow some again to use them in different ways. But regardless of that, I know one thing that I was told, that there's such a thing called suckers. And here's a tomato vine. Here's the branch comes out right in this vein, right in where this, in the angle of the branch and the vine. There you see a little branch start coming, and it's a sucker. Now, but you take it with any fingernails, you can cut it off. Now, the reason that you cut it off, by the way, do leave the first one. I've been told that. But now, after the first one is left there, then the reason you cut it off, it will grow about that long before it ever has a blossom on it. That is, what it does is, it sucks nutrients from the rest of the vine, and the rest of the vine will not produce as many tomatoes or as good of tomatoes because of that sucker, that sucking the nutrients out of the vine, for the most of it, for no value. And so He cares for the vineyard. But if a branch does not bear fruit, He takes it away. Any branch. Now, we're talking about the people of God. We're talking about us. If a branch does not bear fruit, He takes it away. We can fail to bear fruit. Again, I remind you, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And He mentions later on in this same chapter, and I'll get to it in just a moment, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now, how are we a branch in Him? Well, we are a branch in Jesus because we have been chosen in Jesus Christ. We are a part of Jesus Christ. And we'll more of that a little bit later. But we can. We as God's people, if we're not careful, we can fail to bear fruit. We can bear fruit and we can fail to bear fruit. And one of the reasons we fail to bear fruit is because we also have a fleshly nature. I mentioned this morning in Bible study, the works of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians 5 verses 19 through 21 before the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. We all have that within us. As ugly as those things are, they are within us. And the reason I know that is we have a fleshly nature. And though none of you, I don't think, have any idea, any thoughts about doing any of those works of the flesh, the reason you don't do that is, first of all, again, because you have a spiritual nature, and with that spiritual nature, you crucify the lust of the flesh. But we can fail to bear fruit. And if we fail to bear fruit, as this passage of Scripture says, we can be cut off from the vine. That is, we can be cut off from nutrients or spiritual blessings. That is, that branch that's cut off in the vine, that it no longer lives. A number of years ago, there was a place on U.S. number one highway, I think between Louisville and Wadley, or Wadley and Swainsboro, Wadley and Swainsboro, I think it is. But anyway, there was a branch that fell off a tree, pecan tree, by the way. Well, you know what happens to leaves during the fall of the year? They fall off the tree. The limb sheds. The tree sheds their leaves. Guess what? This limb that fell off the tree, it was dead. It could not so much as shed the leaves. It was dead. It was cut off, and so it could not do that. And so, if we're not bearing fruit, if we're cut off from the vine, we're not feeding on the nutrients or spiritual blessings that we have. And listen, brothers and sisters, we need spiritual food. I can't emphasize that enough. We, all of us, need spiritual food. I remember the late Elder D.F. Hagin, and he was in his 80s when he said this. And listen, I would think a man like him knew it all. He might be the first to cave. He didn't know it all. But I remember him telling me that, listen, he kept studying because he wanted to know something, some particular part of the truth is found in the Word of God. He was saying by that he needed spiritual food. It's good to read things in the Word of God and see things that are have the Lord reveal things to us that we've never seen. But yet, as you know, I try to read the Word of God through. And one of the blessings in that is not just when the Lord reveals something to me that I've never seen before. And that is a blessing, by the way. But then to read it and see things that I've known for years, and to be reminded of that and find joy in those things again. Or reminded that I need to be doing this and so that's taught in the Word of God. Now, let me say this. We're cut off from the vine. We will not lose our salvation. I think you know me well enough to know that I believe that salvation is by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone, and that we will not lose our salvation, and that we cannot lose our salvation, and we will not lose our salvation. But I tell you this, brother and sister, we can be cut off from the joy of our salvation. We can lose the joy of our salvation. Every time I think about this, I think of David. And David in the Word of God was called, that is, since it's in the Word of God, it's God Himself, because it's inspired by the Spirit of God. God Himself said that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, David committed some sins, and he prayed unto the Lord. He said, "Restore," in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And it's an amazing thing. Thought about that. Kathy and I were coming back from the funeral. Guess what I heard? In that same psalm, David didn't say, "Bless me according to my word," but I can't remember exactly what it says, "Bless me according to your abundant mercy and pardon." And that may not be just exactly right, but that's exactly what David meant there. Not according to me, but according to your abundant mercy and pardon. He appealed to God's loving mercy and pardon. And with that in mind, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This man of God, that was a man after God's own heart, didn't lose his salvation, but he did lose the joy of it. And he prayed that God would bless him to restore that to him. And listen, brothers and sisters, if a branch bears fruit, the Father purges it. Now, we need that's an important thing to know. If the branch bears fruit, the Father purges it. Now, how does he do that? Well, with trials and afflictions. Look with me, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. And it reads, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, before I go on, let me say one thing. That Paul is called in the Roman letter the apostle to the Gentiles, and the means that he was one of a kind. He was the only apostle to the Gentiles. It doesn't mean that Peter and Matthew and the other apostles had nothing to do with Gentiles, but Paul was the only apostle to the Gentiles. Therefore, what Peter wrote, he was writing to Jews. Now, that's important to think about. And so, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, he mentions the trial of your faith, being much more precious of gold that perisheth. And he mentions that it might be found the praise and the honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. To these Jews, there was an appearing at 70 A.D. And says, so then you could be, you're to be continued walking in the faith, and you will be honorable at that particular coming of Jesus Christ the Lord. He is coming at the resurrection, but there's another thing there under consideration. All right. Now, and then afflictions. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. And I want to read the first two verses. Isaiah 43 and the first two verses. And these two verses read, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Now, to whom was he writing here? He was writing it to the people of God. This is God's message through the prophet Isaiah to the people of God, to the nation of Israel. Then he goes on to say, now notice this first word in verse 2 is not if, but when. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And there are examples in this in the scriptures concerning all of these things there. But now, what do these refer to? They refer to the trials. They refer to the afflictions that God's people experience in life. And if we are bearing fruit, then we will have these trials. We will have these afflictions. But it might be as probably will be as David wrote in the 23rd Psalm when he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so in that passage of scripture, what we find there? There's a walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me say one thing about Psalm 23, and that was there was a picture in figurative language of the life of a sheep from the time that they are in the cold winter time, the home pasture, till they go up to the high ground where they feast during the spring and summer, and then come back to the home place during the winter time. Alright, now, there was a place they went to, and that was the best place to go, to the high ground where the good feeding was. And they went through the valley of the shadow of death. And there were large rocks, there were crevices there, and then, in that
praying animals could come out, just dart out and get one of the sheep. But the sheep says, I know they're there, but I'm not afraid. And the reason I'm not afraid is because you're with me. And so the idea, these trials and afflictions may be on every side. And yet at the same time, we don't fear those things because God is with us. And during those times when He is, if you will, pruning us, that we can bear more fruit and better fruit, then we need to be reminded of the fact that God will be with us during those times. And so afflictions are, even for those who are trying to live righteously, afflictions are a point of life. But God will be with us. Now, if you will, turn back, if you've held there, and did as I didn't do, turn back to John chapter 17 again. And I want to read verses 4 through 8. John 15, in verses 4 through 8. And these verses read, Jesus said, again, He's speaking to His apostles, the people of God, instruction for us today, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples. All right. And so in this passage of Scripture, we see that we are to abide in Jesus Christ. We are already, I remind you again, a part of Jesus Christ because we were chosen in Jesus Christ. And nothing can change that. But are we abiding in Jesus and experiencing His joy? And we'll see that at the end of the message, the Lord willing. And we abide in Him by walking in the ways of Jesus, as found here in the Word of God. Jesus says, we are to abide in Jesus. When we abide in Jesus, that is by walking in His ways, then Jesus will abide in us. Because He says, abide in Me and I in you. And then He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now branch again is a part of the vine, and therefore we belong to Jesus Christ. Alright, if we abide in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. Now the part of that is joy. There are 9 qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. You know that. But one of those qualities of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I don't remember. It seems like it's the second one. Love, joy, peace, if I remember correctly. But anyway, joy is one of those qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit is a blessing to our lives. I remember one that the great majority of you at least have met. Elder Woodrow Beasley. He's probably preached here. He preached in Atlanta and I heard him preach there. And he and I have one thing in common because we were both ordained there at Oak and Grove. And so there was a certain closeness we had there. But I remember some place where he preached, and I don't remember where, he mentioned the fact that the fruit that falls from trees, of some trees anyway, not all of them, but some trees, is the best fertilizer for that tree. Now that's an amazing thing. And that tells us, I think, that fruit is a blessing to us. Now, love is a blessing to us. Now, when I try to preach on love, the thing that bothers me more than anything else is that when I don't manifest love as I ought to, that gets my attention more than anything else. But when I love as I ought to, when I manifest my love to the Lord, or when I manifest my love to others as I ought to manifest it, or as I ought to live it, then it's a blessing to my life. And maybe that's one of the reasons Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because love is a blessing. When I love as I should, then it's a blessing to my life. And then when I don't love as I should, then I miss some blessings in life. But think about this. What a blessing joy is in our life. How much joy makes us feel better. And that is, it makes us feel better spiritually. It makes us feel better physically when we rejoice in those things that the Lord has done for us. When we find joy. Listen, this cup of water that I have before me that I use from time to time, probably not as much as I should, but use from time to time, then it's a great blessing. Now I realize, listen, the Lord blessed me with that water. In regard to what I have, the clothes I wear, the food I eat, everything like that, how much my greater my joy in that is, how much happier I am is that if I realize the Lord gave me that. And I need to do that more and more in my life. Because everything I have is indeed from the Lord. And I'll remind you again, the fruit that we bear is a blessing to our lives. But if we do not abide in Christ, then we will be cast forth as a branch and we will be burned. Now, I think that specifically referred to the Jews. A tremendous judgment came to them. But I want to remind you, I think it's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, if I remember correctly. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what He was in the first century, He is today to us also. And that is, I remind you, what it means, I think, to us more than anything else, we can lose the joy of our salvation. Not our salvation, but the joy of our salvation. Now, if we abide in Christ, we can ask anything what we will and receive. Well, let me tell you this. I'll give you a qualification. We can't ask just for anything. You know, God is our heavenly Father. Alright? I had an earthly father. Four of us knew him. The rest of you, I don't suppose, ever met him. But sometimes I would ask Daddy and Mama for things, and they didn't think that would be good for me, at least at that particular time. And they didn't give it. Because, you see, they were wiser than we. We are God's children. God is wiser than we are. So, He doesn't give us everything we want. But now, let me give you another qualification. That is, if ye abide in me, then you can ask what you will, and you'll receive. Now, I paraphrase that. Now, here's a qualification then. If we're abiding in Jesus Christ, it won't be like the old country song, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" No, we won't be like that. But we'll ask for the needs in life. Now, there are needs that I have that maybe some people don't have. Maybe some of you don't think, but I wear suits when I go to the house of God. That is, in a service like this, and other services such as Wednesday night or whatever, I don't wear them then. But anyway, and I feel like there's certain clothes that I need to respect the house of God. And I, just when I say that, I don't ridicule anybody that doesn't dress as I do. I don't think that whatsoever. But there's certain needs that we have, and God blesses us with those needs. But our thoughts might be, instead of some of the things we have in life or feel like we've got to have in life, our thoughts may be, give us this day our daily bread. And when I say that, I say both natural and spiritual bread. Now that, as most of you know, was in, I think it's in Matthew chapter 6, but part of the Sermon on the Mount, anyway. And in that Sermon on the Mount, close by there, and I don't remember if it's before or after that, but then Jesus said, well, people are worried about what they can eat, what they put on, and whatever like that. You know, I'm not worried about what I eat, not to some degree. Now, I don't have to have the finest food on the face of the earth, but just good, decent food is good for us. And so, give us this day our daily bread, both natural and spiritual bread. And bread is a term, I think it's used somewhat generically, refers to the food that we eat in life. Now, also Jesus said in this passage that God the Father is glorified if we bear much fruit. If we bear much fruit, then we are Jesus' disciples. Now, here's a question to each one of us. That's to me also, by the way. That is, do we bear much fruit? Do we bear much fruit? If we do not bear much fruit, we fail to glorify the Lord. Because that he didn't say it in that way, but he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Are you saying if you bear much fruit, then you glorify the Father? So therefore, if we don't bear much fruit, we're not glorifying the Lord. And we fail to glorify the one who saves us by his amazing grace. We fail to show appreciation to the one who saves us by his amazing grace. We need to be mindful that Jesus went to the cross for us. He did. And the most agonizing form of capital punishment ever known to man. Even that wasn't the worst thing. But the worst thing that Jesus experienced was that while he was on the cross, that our sins, he bore our sins within his body. The one who never had the first evil thought, then he bore all the sins of all of his people there within his body on the cross. And then at that time, because it was so terrible, he brought attention to the fact by saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wasn't that he needed to know, or wasn't that he was questioning the Father, but I think he said that for us to know that during that time, when he bore our sins within his body, the Father forsook him because he could not look upon sin. And how terrible that must have been for Jesus, because he referred to the fact in this particular lesson about how the Father had been with him and he manifested his love for him. But in this one particular time, and I don't know how long a period of time that was, then the Father turned his back, at least figuratively speaking, on him and forsook him, if you will. Now, but Jesus loves us, loved us, and loves us that much. Now, are we willing to show love to Jesus as he loved us? Turn with me, hold on to it now, as I'm doing what I'm practicing what I preach now. Luke chapter 9 and verses 22 and 23. Again, it's Luke 9 and verses 22 and 23. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. He's talking about his crucifixion. Now, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, listen, brothers and sisters, are we willing to show our love to Jesus as he did for us? I don't know that our lives will ever be demanded. That is to say, if we don't deny our faith, then our lives will be taken. I don't know that that will ever happen. And yet at the same time, there's a way that we bear our cross. And that is, the cross is like this, or some historians say the cross was like this. But two pieces of wood that intersect. And we have two natures. We have that fleshly nature. We have the spiritual nature. And with this spiritual nature, we are to crucify the flesh. And so that's at least one of the ways that we bear our cross, so that we might serve the Lord Jesus and bear a cross in his service to show our love to him, because he bore his cross to shed his blood, to die, and to redeem us from our sins. And so we should do the same for him. Now, again in John 15, verses 9 through 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. That's the love I mentioned earlier. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Alright. Jesus loves us as the Father loved him, and we are to continue in that love. And if we keep his commandments, as he said in this passage of Scripture, we will abide in his love. That is, we will experience his love. He's never going to stop loving us. It's just simply not going to happen. Thank the Lord for that. He'll never stop loving us, but there's a difference in being loved by him and experiencing his love. That's what's under consideration here. It will be as Jesus keeping the Father's commandments and abiding in his love. That is, the Father manifested his love to Jesus. And we will not keep God's commandments perfectly. We just simply can't do that. And yet, while we can't keep God's commandments perfectly without flaw. That doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of striving to do what we can't do. That's something we are to strive to do. And if we are not, that is striving to keep God's commandment, Jesus will not manifest His love to us. Especially if we walk in willful disobedience. Now, I'm not going to hold on John chapter 15, but if you will, turn with me to Psalm 19 and verses 13 and 14. Psalm 19 and verses 13 and 14. And these are beautiful expressions. Well, the last one is. Verse 13 is not that pretty, but verse 14 is beautiful. Now, notice what he said in verse 13. He says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin." That doesn't sound good, right? Just read it that way. "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Now, what's the great transgression? Is it one particular sin? No, it's not. It can be what we call a little sin. But what's the great transgression? The word transgression is translated from a Hebrew word which means rebellion. We know to do good, but we don't do it. We know what God's Word says, but we fail to do what God says. God's Word may say we're to do certain things, and if we fail to do that, and we know God's Word teaches it, then that's rebellion. Then at the same time, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me also. If there are things in God's Word that says don't do certain things, and we do them anyway, that's rebellion against God. That's what's under consideration there. By the way, and go back to verse 12. It says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And there are things maybe in the Word of God that we don't know it's sin. And so that secret fault, cleanse me from secret faults. And then he says, "Then shall I be innocent from the great transgression." That's rebellion. And there's a difference from a secret fault and an open rebellion. And then this beautiful expression in verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's far better than what we find in verse 13 about open presumptuous sins and open rebellion against the Lord. And so, again, He'll not manifest His love to us if we walk in open rebellion against Him or willful disobedience. Now, why did Jesus speak these words? Jesus spoke these words, that is, in John chapter 15, Jesus spoke these words for our benefit. And as He said that our joy, your joy, my joy, the joy of His people, that our joy might be full, and that is joy in the Lord. Now, I'll mention again, as I mentioned earlier, that whatever we have, if we're mindful that the Lord, and keep mindful that the Lord blessed us to have whatever it is, then we'll find greater joy in that, whatever it may be. But then, He said these words again, that His joy might be in us, and that our joy might be full. Listen, God has something special for us, and that's joy. I remember, well, I'll tell you, Elder George Daniel. We love him dearly, those of us that knew him. And mentioning, he preached from Psalm 19, verses 12, 13, 14, I think it was. And he's the one that says that great transgression was rebellion there. But I remember that. But another time he preached, he said, "I believe it's God's intent for His people to be happy people. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's something God has given us. And when we walk in the ways of God, then God will bless us with joy. And the Lord help us to bear much fruit in our lives," is my prayer for Christ's sake.